In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, it's pretty clear. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. And last week, the liturgical year ended. This week, a new liturgical year begins. But last week, we were reminded of the feast of Christ the King, which ends the liturgical year. And we pick up that motif a bit today as we remember the nature of that king and his coming. But it's interesting to reflect on not only the reason why the Christ the King Sunday was inaugurated, but on other events that have happened. We were reminded last week that the Christ the King Sunday was inaugurated just under 100 years ago, about 90 years ago, following the Great War. World that we now call World War I. The war to end all wars. But it was more than that. It was a war that ended the whole cultural and religious trajectory of Europe. It brought about the end of what we call the long 19th century. The 19th century, of course, we think of ending at the beginning of 1900. But in terms of Western civilization and Christianity at that time, of the West, it was the Great War that ended a whole trajectory, that brought about a crisis. The slogan of the age had been the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. And even though there had been great diversity of Christian activity in the missionary field, for example, missions going out to all parts of the world, missionaries themselves had begun to question why it was that we were so many divided and diverse Christian communities effectively competing in the mission field. And so in 1910, just 4 years before the Great War erupted, 800 missionaries from around the world, from Europe, from North America, from Great Britain, gathered in Edinburgh for a mighty conference, out of which would come the beginnings of the ecumenical movement. For among the questions that were addressed was, how can we as Christians proclaim the good news, the gospel of one Lord, one baptism, one church, when we are amongst ourselves so divided? And so the denominational differences and the national identities that had been overlaid into the Christian movement began to be challenged and began to be questioned. Ecumenism began to unravel some of that. And just as it was beginning, war erupted. And still historians and others ask the deeper question, why did that war happen? It's not a question to go into now, other than to acknowledge, of course, that great was the slaughter thereof. And not only great killing and death and destruction of people and property, but also, as I say, the end of an era. And coming out of that era, a number of things occurred. On the one hand, the rise of new forms of ideologies, of fascism, of communism, of new forms of jingoism. And on the other hand, theologies that challenged where the Christian movement had got to. It was the Pope who introduced the Christ the King concept and celebration in order to remind the Catholic flock at the time that their loyalty lay primarily with allegiance to Christ, not with the powers of the world that were going and pulling in so many different directions. And at the same time, a theology professor up the road in Basel, one Karl Barth, proclaimed the word of God and recalled Christians to actually focus on the word that is addressed to us through Scripture. That word which was at the beginning of all things. The word of God, which is the agency of creation. The word that when spoken, that was uttered, let there be. And from that being was the Big Bang. And from there flows not only the whole trajectory of creation, but the trajectory of God's purposes. That at least is a theological perception and understanding. And it was affirmed in the light of a sense that where Christianity had got to in the beginnings of the 20th century had failed because culture and politics had triumphed over what it was the Christian movement was trying to do. So it was a crisis moment. And out of that crisis, new things emerged. The counterpoint, as I mentioned, of the emerging ecumenism. The new theologies not only of Barth and the new neo-orthodoxy that he brought in, which was to be predominant for quite a while, but also in America, two brothers who were theologians by the name of Richard and Reinhold Niebuhr addressed the question of Christ and culture, the challenge to not allow Christian identity to become submerged within a cultural identity, a challenge that has continued to the present day. For although in modern missionary movement terms, there's always been the quest to indigenize and to enculturate, the risk is ever that Christianity becomes confined to a cultural template and dominated by cultural and thence political concerns. So the challenge of those of a century ago shook up the world in so many respects, shook up Christianity in so many respects. And it seems to me that we are entering an era that has much affinity with what emerged 100 years ago. Despite change and development since, the dominance of ideologies, particularly impositional ideologies of one kind or another in this last century, which have basically said, you either agree with us or we shoot you. You're either one of us or we kick you out. If we don't want you, we'll put up big barriers and walls and whatever. The world is on the brink of a crisis moment equal to what happened 100 years or so ago. And it's in that context that we are reminded today of that word which is proclaimed and which comes to us in the form of the babe of Bethlehem. We are given an insight to this word which not only is all-powerful and creative but is humble and approaches us in love, in peace, and an invitation, not in domination. And so we reflect on our readings this morning because they give us a hint, a clue, as to what this word means. Isaiah, come, walk in the light of the Lord, provides a vision of a new age where the word of God is heard, is respected, and responded to. The word that leads to life affirmation, when weapons of war become the tools of peace and productivity, a calling, an invitation that is always with us. And Paul's letter to the Romans reminds the people that salvation is approaching. He gives words of inspirational advice. Serve God always with zeal and enthusiasm. Rejoice always in hope. Be patient through times of tribulation. Remain constant in prayer, contributing to the support of those that lead the faithful, being ever hospitable one to another. And the challenge on the one hand to enact the Christ-like reversal of worldly values, to bless those who curse and abuse you, and on the other to enact a Christ-like empathy of rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep. Here we see something of the call to be human in the way of God, the word that strikes us deeply. And then in Matthew's Gospel, we have this rather evocative, dramatic imagery of the not knowing the time or the where or the wherefore of when the Son of Man is coming. In Christian tradition, of course, the term the Son of Man is identified with the figure of Christ. But beneath the apocalyptic language and imagery lies an essential and timeless truth of Christian discipleship. Be ever alert. Be ever watchful. Be ever prepared to respond to the call of God. This may be in humble and simple circumstances, It may be sacrificial, even to the point of someone like a Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who responded to God's call to challenge the ways of imposition and the ideologies of destruction, and paid for it with his life. Be ever alert, watchful, and prepared. And so we begin again a new Christian year. And it's not just simply a repeat of the past. It's not simply reminding ourselves again of what happened so long ago. It is a new beginning. And I'm reminded of a slogan that caught my eye many years ago when I was a young minister. Some kind of motif or project, I can't remember which, in my own church in New Zealand at the time, but it had this motif of God gives new beginnings and we learn to live a new life. And to me, that somehow is the message of Advent. We locate it in terms of our liturgical calendar, but it is a timeless truth. God ever gives new beginnings. We learn to live a new life. So may it be for us today. So may it be for us always. Amen.